Take this job and shove it.
Get ready to go into business for yourself. The Franchise Academy Radio Show with your host and small business and franchise expert, Tom Skarda.
Hello, this is Tom Skarda. Welcome to the Franchise Radio Show. And this is another exciting show going on in the books tonight. We have a special guest, a special friend with us tonight, Sandy Khanna, hailing from Brooklyn, New York. And we have my wife, the illustrious Gina Skarda.
I'm here. Hello.
Hi, I'm here.
So Gina Skarda, also known as Gina Carlo in the acting world.
I am not known as Gina Carlo.
That's true.
I always said, I know. I would have loved to have that as a stage name, Gina Carlo. Isn't that sexy?
It is.
It is a really cool
name.
Yeah,
but I went with my real name.
Well, your married name, not even your real name would have been an abomination.
There's nothing wrong with Regina Marie Papakoda.
Okay. Whatever you say.
Fit on a marquee.
That's so funny. But so welcome to the show. We are everything franchising. We talk about how to buy a franchise. We talk about how to sell a franchise. We talk about how to turn your business into a franchise. And I'm a franchise consultant, you know, on a regular basis for the past 13 years. Since 2005, I've been matching people with opportunities based on skills, personality, goals. I like to call myself the eHarmony of business, actually. So I work with people that are frustrated with their job and kind of cringe at the thought of going to work on Monday morning. And work with a lot of people that are actually laid off and the universe kind of changed their world and moved them into a position where they had to do something. And I helped them figure out if franchising is really the right thing. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Actually, we're going to talk about change when things happen in your life and how to deal with that. Gina is a happiness expert, actually certified by what university was that?
Berkeley. How's that? That's pretty impressive, right?
That's pretty cool. So we're going to talk about how to stay happy even in a bad situation or what's perceived as a bad situation. And sometimes it's a situation that's a blessing in disguise. So I offer a free service that helps people figure out franchising. What people don't understand, though, is as a recruiter for franchises, my service is free, like a real estate agent or a recruiter. So if somebody bought a franchise I recommended, the franchise company pays me a commission for bringing somebody well-qualified to them. And it's not about just pushing somebody in a direction because they like that kind of concept, but it's really about figuring out what makes them tick and what's really going to have them wake up in the morning and say, oh my God, I love what I'm doing. I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this. That's my goal, is to get somebody to that point. But if you wake up in the morning and say, oh man, I love donuts, so I should open up a donut franchise, that's a mistake. That is buying a business for personal reasons and not for business reasons. And if you buy a business for personal reasons, chances are good that you're probably not going to do well. So you really have to figure out what the day in a life is going to look like. And I help people do that. So tonight's going to be a little bit of a different show. We're not going to talk about the nuts and bolts so much of franchising, but the nuts and bolts of changing and how to become a franchise or a business owner in your own mind, how to go from signing the back of the check to signing the front of the check as an employer and not an employee.
Mm.
How do you like that? I just made that up.
I like that.
No, yeah, thank you.
That's a heck of a hashtag.
Hashtag, you sign the front of the check.
That doesn't work.
Okay. Hashtag, stop smoking opium and hoping that you're going to have a good life. How about that?
You know, I think that we need to talk about people tend to get in their own way when they're trying to make a change in their life. And they'll want to make the change, but when it comes time to actually take a step in the direction, they kind of put the brakes on, you know, because they're afraid. Fear is, you know, it's the thing that holds us all back.
Fear is the number one reason for not buying a franchise.
It is. You know, I listened to something today from one of our mentors, Bo Eason, actually, Tom.
Bo Eason.
Yeah. And he was talking about the enemy that we all have, and that enemy is mediocrity. And, you know, we get stuck in the mediocre, and that's where the herd is. You want to step away from that herd. And I think, did you print up that something to read tonight that was really...
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
So
read that.
This is really, this is interesting. This is from another one of our mentors, Darren Hardy. We have a lot of people that we try to glean information from. He did something last year called Success is Hard. So be thankful. Difficulty is the high fence that keeps people, or keeps the weak and the wannabes and the pretenders out, which means more for the rest of us who are achievers. I love it when things are hard, says Darren. I do hard. I know most won't. The harder it is, the easier it is to win. So winning is much harder when difficulty is low, and lots of people can do it. If everyone could do it, success would be harder. Since most won't do the hard stuff, easy is just easy. Or success is easy. Whenever you hit a wall of difficulty, smile and say a prayer of gratitude, because when you climb over that wall, you will have just left many in your of your competition behind. So realize that every wall is another fence that thins the herd. The more walls of difficulty, the fewer that can hang on with you, and the more success you'll enjoy.
Yeah, that's great.
I you know, it's a really interesting way. And Bo, again, to talk about Bo Eason, he always talks about the fact that if 0.001% are successful, that's what he wants to do, because he knows most people are not going to do the work to get to that success point.
Right.
So the thing
takes work,
right? And the things that are great are always take work.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, owning a business is definitely a difficult thing to do. It's not, you know, it's more difficult than owning than having a job, because you have to, you know, wear 10 different hats and call the shots, and you're living it. But it's really a much easier way to ultimately make a living. You're going to work your butt off, mm-hmm. build a foundation, and then people are going to give you money.
I think when you get to that point, it's a little bit easier. I think the hardest part about owning the business is taking that step and buying the business.
Well, I always say to people, you know, when you're looking at franchising, there's more than 4,000 franchises in 90 different industries. 89 have nothing to do with fast food. So most people think, and I did too when I first got into franchising 20 years ago, you know, McDonald's and Subway and Dunkin' Donuts and, you know, all those kind of food franchises. But there's so many different things. But when you're, you know, when you're looking at franchising, there's so many great things that you could look at that might be a great fit for you. And at the end, as you go through a due diligence process, which I coach all my clients through, your decision at the end is not the decision between franchise A or franchise B. Your decision is the decision between uncertainty or unhappiness. Most people choose unhappiness. And they stick with, like, the BS job and the stupid boss and the long commute and missing the soccer games and the dance rehearsals. And that breaks my heart. I mean, I can't talk anybody into buying a franchise. People buy or don't buy a franchise for their own reasons, not for my reasons. I can only show them the path and you know, point to the path that I took. And if it works for somebody, that's awesome. And I take such, you know, great solace in knowing that I can help somebody change their life. And that's why I do what I do. But it's so difficult to make that step and jump off that cliff. You know, it's, are you really going to grow wings on the way down? And you will. That's the funny thing.
You know what I love? I love when, because I listen to you when you're doing your consultations and stuff. I always hear him talking on the phone. And one of the things he always says, like in one of the very first phone calls when he's talking to somebody, he goes, we're going to go through this process and, you know, write this down. Mark my words that, you know, 4 or 5 weeks from now, you're going to wake up in a cold sweat.
In the middle of the night.
You're going to be like, what am I going to do? You're not going to know if you're going to want to throw up or faint.
That's right.
And, you know, and it's great that you let them know that they're going to face this fear. Because a lot of people think, you know, they go in it very bravely. You know, I'm going to do this.
I'm going to buy 10 then, franchises.
Right. Yeah. And then little doubts start creeping in. And I think a lot of times the people who love us the most sometimes plant those doubts.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, right? I think that they don't want to see us change. I mean, our friends and family, they love us, but they have us in a box. And I don't know if you ever hear the crab story.
Yes, I was just thinking that, crab in the bucket.
Crab in the bucket. You want to tell that story?
As the story goes, you have a bucket filled with crabs, and you have this one very brave crab that's climbing its way up out of the buckets. And instead of the crabs trying to help it, they're all trying to pull him back down, back right. into the bucket where they are stuck.
Right. They want to keep him in the bucket.
Keep the status quo.
Yeah. So
don't make any waves.
Let's not be crabby.
Don't be a crab.
Don't be a crab.
Don't be a crab. Oh, I'm a Cancer. It's my thing. But
oh, that's right.
So what you're saying is the question isn't what franchise. The question is why not? There is a franchise for every person.
Well, just about. I mean, even if you're an introvert, there's a franchise for you. What we try to do is find your strong point. I mean, if you're a salesperson and you're one of those kind of people that have been out for 20 years and you're doing some great stuff, you're knocking on doors and building businesses, being a business developer, you might be bored being in a store all day not doing that. So we try to find you a business that's going to tap on your skills, but you may not be a great person manager if you're a great salesperson. So if you're not a people leader per se, then we're going to find you a business that doesn't have a lot of people mm-hmm. to manage, or vice versa. If you've been, you know, like when I came out of transit, I was a transit worker for, you know, 13 years before I got into franchising, and I got into management. I would manage all these people on a train line as a train dispatcher. I was really good, or at least experienced anyway, at managing people, but I never sold a thing in my life. So I had to find a business that would allow me to manage a process, but not have to go out and knock on doors. And that was the Maui Wowie thing that Carol matched me to back in 2000. So that's it. I mean, so you're right. It's not, you know, we could find a business for almost anybody. The thing that scares me, Sandy, is when somebody buys a business for there was somebody who bought a smoothie franchise. So I went in, I was like, so this is great. You know, how'd you find it? And they're like, oh, you know, we Googled it. You know, we love smoothies, so we want to get into a smoothie franchise. Well, that's kind of the death knell right there. I mean, that's not a reason to get into a business. You don't become infatuated or, you know, I was visiting my family in California.
It's so easy to do that though, right?
It is.
You go to a location and you see something, a concept that you don't have in your neighborhood. Oh my God, this would do so good in my neighborhood. But you know, you really, there's a lot of things you have to know to go out and research something. You know, that's the great thing about buying a franchise is because they've done that research.
They have.
They know what neighborhoods things work in.
A great franchise, by the way, and they're not all great.
Right, not all great, right. But what, you know, it's also what you said before, Tom. I mean, not every franchise is for every person. Like, if you want to buy that Dunkin' Donuts, but you don't like getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to make the donuts, that may not be for you, you know?
Right. Or managing all those employees, all those kids who's coming in, who's not coming in because, you know, they had a fight with their girlfriend. I mean, there's a lot to think about. And there's franchises that cost, you know, pennies on the dollar compared to the big food franchises where you know a lot of people, there's a myth out there where people think, oh, you need $1 million to start a franchise, and you don't. You could really start a franchise and get a loan, you know, and as long as you have a 680 credit score, I could get you a loan. You know, you're not going to be opening up a brick and mortar store, but you're going to have a home-based business where you're going to have, you know, five people working for you, and mm-hmm. and you're going to build it and you could build it into, you know, big, big numbers. I mean, it would knock your socks off. You just have to follow the system. You know, that's the main thing. There's really three keys to success in a franchise. One is to follow their system and really adhere to what they're doing. The second thing that you need to do in a franchise is follow their system.
And what's the third thing, Tom?
And the third thing that you really need to do
is follow the system.
And that's why you're buying a franchise. And that's why you buy a franchise, because they're giving you that system. I was talking to a guy yesterday who started the conversation literally with, I'm not going to buy a franchise because they take way too much money in royalties. And I'm like, okay, great. So what makes you know, say that? And so he had all wrong information. He had, you know, there are franchises that do take too much royalty, but we steer you away from those. You know, we pre-screen the franchises at the Franchise Academy, which is powered by FranChoice, and we make sure that you're looking at businesses that have a very fair franchise agreement. And so you have, you know, there's meat on the bone left for you, and the franchise doesn't take it all. Mm-hmm. And within 20, 25 minutes, this guy all of a sudden saw the light. He's like, oh, my God, we need to really go deeper on this. I didn't realize I had everything wrong. I'm like, you know, that's fine. That's not uncommon. I mean, you don't know what you don't know because you're not in the business. That's why I'm here.
Right.
Is to help you kind of figure this out.
You know, to me, I think the most important part of the whole franchise investigation process is those validation phone calls.
Yes, absolutely.
What's a validation phone call?
That's a good question. I'm glad you asked. So a validation phone call is when it's like the most coolest thing about franchising. It's one of the only investment opportunities, in my opinion anyway, that I could think of where you're actually kind of behind the scenes where they make decisions before you spend a dime on that investment. So a validation phone call is once you talk to the franchise company, you know, you have one or two, three phone calls, understand what their concept is, you will talk to the franchise owners that are already in the business.
Yeah, but don't they give you a list of everybody, even the people who left the business?
So, yeah, the Federal Trade Commission mandates that they have a disclosure document. In that document is going to be every single franchise owner at the time of the printing of that document, including anyone that has sold, transferred, or gone out of business in the past 3 years, mm-hmm. which is cool. So you could call those people up and say, hey, what happened? And, you know, they're not under any obligation to tell you what happened. But if it's really, really bad, typically they'll get on the phone to kind of tell you. And 9 out of 10 times the person gets on the phone and says, yeah, you know, I had a problem myself. I picked the wrong franchise for the wrong reason, or God forbid somebody got sick. Happens a lot of times and they have to give up the franchise. But you get to talk to people. And I have a sheet of 39 questions that I give to franchise owners. So if you're listening to this and you're looking at franchising, email me and I'll send you a copy of this 39 questions. It's just tom@thefranchiseradioshow.com. Again, tom@thefranchiseradioshow.com. And just ask for the 39 questions to ask franchise owners and I'll shoot it right over to you.
It's totally free.
Totally free. No problem. No obligation. You don't have to talk to me. Who would want to talk to me?
You know? Everybody loves talking to you, Tom.
No, that's not true.
He does these consultations with people. It's supposed to be like a 15-minute phone call. He's on the phone for like hours because they just have, you know, I'm downstairs. They're talking about things that have nothing to do with franchising.
I'm talking about you all the time.
Yeah, I hear you talking about me. What the heck? What's going on? But yeah, they have a good time. And that's probably one of our favorite thing is we get to know these people and become friends with them. And
this is the Tommy and Gina show.
The Tommy and Gina show. This is the Tom and Gina show. Second week in a row.
Yeah, this is cool. And it you know, but I enjoy telling people about your change, how you went from a police officer in New York City to a comedian.
Sounds like you're talking about menopause. I'm talking about people about your change.
This is your journey.
These freaking yes. hot sweats are driving me nuts.
Yeah.
But
it's really hot in here. Isn't it hot in here?
So hot.
It's all I ever hear. Oh my God, it's so hot in here. Oh my God. But it's great. I want to talk more about this after the break that's coming up. But we you know, Gina was a New York City police officer from 87 to 2007, 20 years and 1 minute she did in the police department, and got a pension and got into a business that didn't do well, which is another great story we should talk about. Going into Super Suppers, big mistake, crashed the business, lost a lot of money, and a little bit of self-esteem along the way. And then we had to recover our self-esteem.
And money.
And money. But now that I look back on it, I look at it as a blessing, because now that's what made me a franchise expert, is going through a failure, because now I know what to not do when you're picking a franchise. So we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. But Gina wanted to do something after being a cop in New York City. She wanted to do something that was going to really scare her, something really, really challenging. So she went into stand-up comedy and became a stand-up comedian. And within the first 9 months of being a stand-up comedian, she was really good at it. Who knew? She ended up winning Long Island's Funniest Comedian and then became part of the Italian Chicks, which is a comedy troupe that travels around North America, internationally, in Canada as well. And they do a great show. But when you think about it, how to go from cop to comedian, it's amazing. I mean, even Diane Sawyer and Hoda and Kathy Lee had her on their show.
Today's show, yep. Yeah,
so she did all of that. So we're going to take a break. And this is the Franchise Radio Show / Tom and Gina Show.
And Sandy.
And Sandy Connor's with us. Real estate extraordinaire and foodie. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Right back.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Take this job and shove it.
And now back to the Franchise Academy Radio Show with your host and small business and franchise expert, Tom Skarda.
And welcome back to the Franchise Radio Show. This is Tom Skarda, and I am live with my wife, Gina. As we say in Brooklyn, Gina is here, and a good friend of ours of more than 20 years, Sandy Connor, hailing from Brooklyn as well.
Coney Island in the house.
Coney Island.
Yeah, baby.
6-0 precinct. Yeah. I remember the 6-0 for various reasons. Yeah. Not the same reasons you remember, probably.
Coney Island's very special to everyone in this room.
That's right.
Depends on which side of the handcuffs you were on. Right?
That's true. Sandy lived there. I worked there, and Tom worked there.
Sandy was a what did I just blank out? The red cap guys on the subway.
Oh my God! I forgot I told you that. I was a guardian angel.
She was a guardian angel, right? The red cap guys on the subway.
You know, the guys that carry your luggage. No. The sky caps.
The
guardian angels. Yeah. So, because I was a conductor.
Are they still around?
On the train.
Yes, they are.
Curtis Wheeler has a great show, actually. Yeah. He's a competitor of mine now.
Oh, he's on the radio. But I mean, is he still walking, you know, riding the trains?
Yes, he gets very involved when there is high profile crime. And since the trains lately, there have been some issues. There is a very strong guardian angel presence. I mean, this is 1983 when I did it, but they're still very active and very involved.
Uh huh.
83. You were doing it in.
Did you wear the little cap?
Yes, I had my little cap and the t-shirt somewhere packed away in my garage. Drove my parents crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Wow.
That's so cool, though.
It's scary when you have your, you know, your teenage girl. How old are you?
I was 20.
All right. Even that, your young daughter riding the trains to stop.
You're aging us.
My mother used to literally drive me to the train station.
Yeah.
Lecturing me as only a Jewish mother could, making me feel guilty. All these years I drive you everywhere, and now you're getting on the trains to ride the trains in the middle of the night to the worst neighborhoods in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
I can't believe you. Such guilt.
Yeah, but you were born and raised in Coney Island.
Yes,
home of the Warriors.
Third generation. Yeah, Warriors. Come out to play. Yeah.
Funny stuff.
That was Cochise, right?
No. The guy who did that was the rival gang.
David Patrick Kelly. I happen to be a big fan, and I met him.
Oh, my God.
I met him. I used to work in a kosher macrobiotic restaurant in the Lower East Side, now the East Village.
A kosher microbiotic
restaurant. Yes, I was a waitress there.
Wow, that's a niche.
Wow. Yeah, really. They were very popular for many years.
Well, I also have a connection to the Warriors. I was in a film recently, Mommy's Box, with David Harris, who was Cochise.
Him I remember.
Yeah. Always had the lollipop.
Yeah. He was like the second lieutenant.
Yeah, that's right. Cochise.
Wow.
Really nice guy. Great guy.
That's funny. I was
and
watching.
If you get a chance and you want to watch Mommy's Box, it's on Amazon Prime for free. Go
Amazon
watch it.
Amazon Prime, Google Plus. It's everywhere.
It's actually a great
I believe
movie.
It's still on. Yeah, thank you.
I enjoyed it. I've
thank
seen
you.
It.
Yeah. I'm very proud of you. That was a good thing.
Thanks.
It was very well directed.
Yeah, Johnny Greenlaw was really good.
Johnny Greenlaw was definitely...
He was well directed and he acted in it as well, and he was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just give you guys credit for pulling that off, and it was so well done and such a shoestring budget.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Great effects. The music, off the hook.
Really great music. Yeah, there was some great people in it. I mean, Bill Sorvino was in it,
Paulo Coelho was the...
Paulo Coelho, yeah.
The music producer.
Just amazing soundtrack.
All original soundtrack, yeah.
Yeah, really good soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's talk more about me. It's my show, damn it.
No, I thought it was the Tom and Gina show. Hey, when am I going to get all the credits
that's
in the
right.
beginning? I don't know. It just says the Tom Scarta.
Well, when you start getting sponsors, we'll get you on.
Okay, note to self. We need sponsors.
So anyway, franchise radio show. We digress, as you could see, but have fun, and that's the main thing. We talk everything franchising. I help people figure out franchising. You know, it's not for everyone. And my mission is to help people not buy the wrong franchise. So many people do that. They become infatuated with a concept, and it's really not the right concept for them. They think it is because they like the food or something silly about the business. But you got to really understand the business from the inside out. No matter how much you love that food or whatever it is that they serve, it's going to get real old when you're serving it Saturday night at 10 o'clock at night while your family is home. It's just so
you miss out on a lot.
Yeah.
Especially mm-hmm. dinner hour. You know, after what you said in the first half of the show, I can't help but ask, why wouldn't somebody use a franchise expert? I don't see a downside yet.
Well, I think one thing is that they don't know the franchise consultants exist. Most people, I don't think, know that. You know, and it's like, would you buy a house without a real estate agent? I mean, I guess you can. Would you sell a house without a real estate agent? I mean, you can. But a real estate agent brings so much to the table. It's all that knowledge and how to, you know, do the deal. So, you know, for the franchise world, you know, somebody... I think the only reason they wouldn't use a consultant is because they don't know it exists, number one, or they feel that, you know, we're a salesperson just trying to sell somebody something. Mm-hmm. And maybe there are consultants that kind of do that and steer people towards things that are more expensive so they get a little bit more commission. That's not the way I work or any of my colleagues at Franchoice, because what we're doing is we really want to build a relationship. So it's so interesting to me because I've been doing it for 13 years. I have somebody who I worked with 11 years ago, last month, sent me, he didn't buy a franchise in California. His name is Stan, and he didn't buy a franchise, but last month he sent me a referral. And that's what I want to do. I want to have that kind of relationship where people will send me a referral. So I'm not going to try to shoebox somebody or shoehorn somebody into a franchise that's not the right fit for them so I can make a couple of bucks. Bad karma, number one, for me. I believe in karma. And I believe that's bad karma if you're trying to push somebody into something. So if somebody worked with me, I always tell them there's one of three things that will definitely happen. One is you'll figure out franchising is not for you at all, you know, which is cool. We shake hands. We're still friends. There's no hard feelings. I'll send you some business cards. Hopefully you'll like me and you'll refer me. That's one outcome. The second outcome is that I might figure out that you're not a fit for owning a franchise or owning a business. You have to be okay with hearing that. That could be a mm-hmm. result of the conversation. And we would talk about it and figure out if we could, you know, fix it. But if you're going to be precluded from being awarded a franchise, that's a problem. And awarded a franchise is the key word, because they don't sell, a great franchise won't sell a franchise. They award franchises to partners that they feel could really build the brand in their community. Mm-hmm. The third outcome through using a franchise consultant like me is that you might find the perfect franchise and dive in and build it and live happily ever after, which that would just be awesome.
Mm-hmm. And so, your children will buy many more franchises.
Hopefully.
Keeping the legacy going.
I think that that point that you said about being awarded a franchise is important, because a lot of people think, oh, you know what, I want to buy this franchise so I could just go in and buy this franchise. But that's not the case a lot of times. I mean, I've heard, again, I'm the person in the room while he's on the phone, but I've heard a lot of times, you know, either they are not a fit for the franchise and the franchise says no, or they don't, right off the bat, they're not following the system. They're missing phone calls and the franchise says no. They're not forcing. They're not saying, okay, give us your money. You're buying a franchise. They don't go after you. If, as a matter of fact, they want you to come after them. It's interesting how that works, because
the dynamic is very interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's so not a sales process.
Right.
It's, yeah. You have to be the one showing that you're interested, showing, making the effort, and it's almost like a test. It's interesting how
it is a lot of times like a test. Like, they'll make you write an essay about why you think you're a fit for their franchise, and you have to, you know, at first you're struck by that. You're like, I have to write an essay about why I want to buy your franchise. Yeah, you're not, you know, you're not buying a franchise.
Or they'll give you a list of things to do and by this date and see if you do them.
Right.
It's interesting, and it is just a test, because if you cannot follow a system now before you buy a franchise, how are you going to follow a system right. later? And it's their brand and their reputation that's at stake.
Yes.
I know franchises that will randomly, like, they'll call you in, and, you know, if things are going really well, they're going to ask you to come out to what they call a meet the team day or discovery day. So before you buy the franchise, you're going to go meet them face to face. They want to see you, and you want to see them, quite frankly. Why, I mean, how are you going to spend this kind of money without, you know, really meeting the people you're going into business with?
Yeah,
for the
it
next
becomes
10
your
years.
Family.
It becomes your family. But a lot of times they'll be in a meeting, they'll be in a boardroom, and the president will point at somebody and say, I want you to go out into the lobby and randomly sing happy birthday to somebody.
That's a specific franchise that does that. What was that? Cookies, something cookies, Mrs. Fields or something did that, right?
Yeah.
Do other people do that?
Yeah, other people do that, absolutely.
Just to see, well, I guess to see how outgo, because yeah.
Nothing Bundt Cakes does that.
Yeah.
They actually make you submit a video beforehand. You got to go on video and submit a video resume about why you are a good fit for their business.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't be afraid of that, because it's only franchises probably where you actually have to go out and network. And there are franchises where, and I guess most franchises, it's all about networking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so
you have to like people at some point.
You do. You have to deal with people.
The person, mm-hmm. right?
You have to deal with people. I mean, a lot of times, I mean, you could hire people to do that. But when you're starting a business, I mean, I don't like to rely on people to do things. And that's just probably a downfall for me in some respects, because you do have to delegate in a business. Otherwise, you're running around like a chicken without a head. But you have to be able to talk to people. Like, what people don't understand, like, you know, people are like, I want to open up a laundromat, as an example. So it seems so easy, right? You put in these machines. You don't have to be there. You got one person just making sure everything is running okay, and you're home collecting money. And that's not the way it works. You're not making anything on those machines. Where you're making all your money is on the commercial laundry that you're doing, the tablecloths for restaurants and things like that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's where they make them. So in a car wash, seems easy. There's no money in the car wash. The car wash is all about getting fleet accounts. So even when the weather's nice and people are washing their car at home, all those limos are coming in and getting washed before the weddings and the funerals and all that kind of stuff.
And your Enterprises and Hertz's, those kind of...
Right. You have to have rental cars be part of your account in a car mm-hmm. wash. So this is kind of what I'm here to help people understand. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just what's a great franchise, but really what is it going to take to run this franchise? So if you're in a... I don't want to point out car washes and laundromats, but in that kind of business, you have to have the chutzpah, to use a nice word. If you got to have the chutzpah to go and knock on doors and get those accounts.
You have to do some marketing.
You have to do some marketing. In a franchise, what's pretty cool is they actually come with accounts. So they'll have, but you still have to go and build the relationship with the manager. So if, you know, they say, oh, you have Enterprise, you know, we have a national relationship with Enterprise. You still have to go to the enterprise offices, meet all the managers, shake hands, sponsor the golf tournament, you know, do all that kind of stuff. And that's really the nuts and bolts behind business that people don't understand. They're doing, oh, I open up my doors and people come in and do their laundry here. Not the case. So, but I wanted to talk about change as well. We said we're going to talk about that. What else did we say we're going to talk about, Gina? Do you remember?
We did talk about that a little
happiness.
Bit.
Well, I was talking about the law of perpetual transmutation of energy.
Transmutation?
Sounds fancy. You know, I went to Kingsborough Community College, and I learned all about the law of perpetual transmutation of energy.
Transmutation? Is that a word?
Transmutation.
There
I'm
you
sorry.
Go. He went to Kingsborough.
I went to Kingsborough. Decay by the Bay.
I went there too.
Someone does English.
That's where we met.
Going, oh no!
Yes, so, we did. We met there in college in Spanish class.
Miss Kirby is like, oh my god, I can't believe he said that word. But
oh my gosh, you remember her name?
Yeah, that was our Spanish teacher. September 1983 is when the saga began.
Yes, that was a long time ago. Wow.
I was just a kid.
Yeah, we know.
Okay. Anyway.
Just slipped that in there.
We were both kids. We were in college.
Well, you went back to college. But anyway, the law of perpetual transmutation of energy, to say it right, is about the fact that energy is always moving, transmuting, and changing. It takes one form, then another, and it never stands still. Everything we see, hear, taste, touch, smell is in a constant state of change. In fact, this law tells us that change is really all there is. So some people say, you know, let's wait till the dust settles before I buy a franchise, or, you know, let's wait for the change to be over before we do anything. And, you know, they don't understand that change itself is really what's normal. Things are always changing. Every cell in your body is replaced in less than a year. You aren't the same physical person you were a year ago. Right? So.
Interesting.
That's incredible.
When you think about.
When you look at it.
Right?
And yeah, I always thought of that because, you know, I've always said that you're every 10 years. I mean, yes, every year you're a totally different person, but every 10 years, I mean, you're a totally different person. Think about your life.
Mm-hmm.
All right? When you were born, you were this little baby. Your mother took care of you. You had your own little world was there. Your mom, your father, your sister, whatever. You didn't even have a sister yet. You're 10 years old now. You have a group of friends. You're 20 years old. You're away from your parents. You have another group of... Every 10 years, you have a total... 30 years old, you're a mother. You have kids, you know. Every single 10 years, you're a completely different person. And I was saying to Tom, it's interesting how... Some people hold grudges for a lifetime, but meanwhile, the person that they help don't even exist anymore. Not the person that they're holding a grudge against or them. They're two totally different people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so...
Why carry that around?
Yeah, why carry it around, you know?
And none of us are the same person that we were in high school.
No, God, no.
You know, some people had good experience.
No, you're not. No. You're so not.
I'm kidding. That was a joke.
Leave the jokes to me.
J-O-K-E. Jocularity.
Yeah, so
are
it's,
you familiar?
It's really interesting how we do that.
Well, it's interesting because people carry this grudge, which really hurts their inner soul.
Yeah, I don't know why we're getting I got on grudges, but I just well,
as a
flowed.
Life lesson.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, I mean, franchise, smanchise. I'm all about learning something new about how the world works and how humans work and our interaction with each other. The only thing that you have on this earth, really, is the relationships of
very
your
true.
Friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. And those relationships are the things that carry you forward. And so if you're holding a grudge against somebody, you know, you need to take the higher road and reach out to that person and make amends because life is too short. I think it's just really, it's really stupid. Like having a hate for somebody, I heard somebody saying, you might have heard this yourself, having hate towards somebody is like drinking poison and hoping that they're going to be ill from it. It's such a wasted energy, and it, you carry around that, it's like a cloud.
It's like being rude. Mm-hmm. I rude people always fascinate me. It takes so much extra energy to be nasty to someone or condescending when you can just simply be nice and positive.
Just be nice.
Why would you hold a grudge?
Right, exactly.
You know, it's like I pride myself on, you know, moving forward and building bridges. Why would you spend all the time building a hatred?
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. And it's so detrimental to you. And I believe, like, a lot of illness comes from that. Mm-hmm. Everything from a common cold to cancer, I believe, comes from holding grudges and being angry and all this. You're stopping the energy flow in your body. Mm. You know, everything flows. Everything is moving. This energy is moving. Like, we're talking about the transmutation of energy.
Energy is a thing. It exists.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's great. Everything's always changing. So you have to go toward, you know, a good direction. Always change for the better. Constant, right. What does Tony Robbins say? Constant and never-ending improvement. This was really a very deep show, right? We talked about a lot of deep stuff today.
We got some seriously meta stuff going here.
I know. Well, thanks for coming, Sandy. We loved having you here.
This is fun.
I enjoyed it so much. Thank
you,
guys.
Yeah, this is good. Yeah, we have... We have a great show coming up next week, so don't forget to tune in to the Franchise Radio Show. And you could hear this on iTunes as a podcast and on thefranchiseradioshow.com.
How do they get in touch with you?
Tom at thefranchiseradioshow.com. If you want to talk about franchising, I can help you find the right franchise, and it's all for free. Why wouldn't you do it?
Why wouldn't you? I just don't get it.
So this is the Franchise Radio Show / the Tom and Gina Show, and we'll be back next week, and God bless, and we will talk to you next week.
Have a great night, everyone.
Enjoy. Bye-bye.